The fact that Google shut down its Chinese search engine doesn't mean users in mainland China can't use Google anymore. Those users are redirected now to the company's other Chinese search engine in Hong Kong. That service isn't required by law to self-censor like the ones inside mainland China are, but its content is censored by the government before mainland viewers can access it. Still, Google's move highlights the reality that the internet is vast and hard to pin down to one geographic location, which has its advantages and disadvantages, as the world's Alex Galifian reports.
The internet is everywhere. The internet is nowhere. So far, so Hollywood.
The Matrix is everywhere. It is all around us.
Of course, there is something to that internet is everywhere idea. One writer a few years ago called our experience online an illusion, a phantasmagoria projected by a vast conglomeration of computers. The internet brings the feeling of open-endedness. It has the flavor of a digital sky where data lives in clouds. Well, not for Craig Labovitz, an internet engineer.
I don't think it's ever had that flavor to me. I think to the average consumer, the internet is a very nebulous, abstract. It's able to survive wars. It's everywhere. It's the ether that connects millions of computers. To those actually in the industry, I think we tend to have a much more concrete notion.
Labovitz is chief scientist with Arbor Networks, a US-based company that supports the infrastructure of the internet. For industry insiders like him, the internet is a physical geography of pipes and servers, a brittle landscape of technology trying to keep up with demand. And keeping up with demand also involves geography. It's fine having a small internet operation in California with all your data on a small local server. People anywhere can come and visit your site if they're interested. But what if everyone, everywhere wants to visit? You're going to have to go to them.
You are going to want to have servers and engineers physically proximate to the countries that you serve.
Jonathan Zittrain is the author of The Future of the Internet and How to Stop It.
It just turns out that that solves a lot of problems of latency and, how fast people can get from one place to another. And that's what we've seen as a dilemma for a company like Google.
Google is all about speed, so having servers in China made sense. But putting them there came at a cost, because they were subject to the country's internet content provider licensing scheme.
It does matter where things are. If you are located in China, at least the first set of routers your data is going to pass through are Chinese routers. And because the Chinese government can tell an internet service provider in China, let this through, don't let that through, it can effectuate a real impact on your internet experience.
So now Google has pulled out of mainland China, directing Chinese users to its servers based in Hong Kong. This story is important, says Craig Labovitz at Arbor Networks, not just because Google is a big, powerful company. It's because the Googles of the world are increasingly the internet.
For an average user, the daily internet experience is really only a handful of companies.
There's also Microsoft, Facebook, Orkut.
And the reality is that many of the resources, many of the web pages users are going to are really coming out of many of the same buildings, some of the same data centers. And increasingly, just by traffic volumes, a smaller and smaller number of companies are providing a greater and greater volume of the internet's traffic on a daily basis.
If those companies are subject to restrictions by the countries hosting their data servers, the internet could look a lot less open than it might seem to be. Now, right now, internet users in places such as China are left to get around the filtering on their own. But Jonathan Zittrain thinks it might be time for internet companies themselves to work together to keep the internet open using a system of mutual aid.
The internet websites can get together and they can agree that if there is some blockage, maybe it's internet filtering, but maybe it's a cybersecurity issue, maybe it's an internet attack against one of them. If one of them becomes inaccessible for any reason, the other will mirror what used to be there and vice versa.
Unfortunately, as the internet becomes more centralized, such a system would rely on those big sites being really resilient. The fewer there are, the more fragile the arrangement. Still, as some point out, technology might end up being its own solution. There might come a time when data servers don't need to be physically proximate to end users. So even if traffic remains concentrated in a few sites, the internet could yet be everywhere and nowhere. For The World, I'm Alex Galifant.